we saw of the Muslim Englishman coming to India. Otherwise, it will happen as Hazrat Wala once related to us. I don't think that. Otherwise, it will happen as Hazrat Wala once related to us. An Englishman from a noble family became a Muslim. When the British conquered India, they saw in a few of them, they were very impressed with the Muslims. They became Muslims when they went back to England. We speak about 200 years ago. And they told their families, so some of them, they became Muslims, a handful, very few. So this particular Englishman who became a Muslim, he felt a desire to come to Hindustan. He was in England. Let me go and see how's Hindustan, it's India. He arrived over here and associated with some of the Nawabs and other noblemen. He was like a prince, if you can call it, when he came this side. There were princes here also, Muslim princes. When the time for namaz came, the Englishman, together with a group of 4 to 6 individuals who were with him, went to perform namaz in a masjid in the neighborhood. So there were 4 or 6 English people, they came. It was namaz time, they said, let's go and perform namaz by the masjid. When this Muslim Englishman sat down to make wuzu, he saw that the channel, meaning the gully, at the bottom was dirty and filthy. He asked, is there nobody to keep the area clean? He asked, isn't anyone to keep it clean? His Muslim friends replied, yes, there is. The Englishman said, oh, then how filthy is this drainage pipe? It is filled with dirt and rubbish. There was a Muslim muazzin. He remarked, he said, hey, you've become a Muslim, but the smell of being English has not left your brains. Cleanliness, 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 that's all that you know. The muazzin is telling this Englishman who's seeing the dirt, the pipe is dirty. And the muazzin, he say, yeah, you became a Muslim, but all that English things are still in your brain. Everything is just cleanliness. Oh, do you see how this lowly paid worker is addressing a Muslim? Should have thought this is an Englishman, but he's a Muslim. He has the idea that cleanliness is to be found with the English. That cleanliness is an attribute of the English. It is the culture of the English. Actually, the English learned it from us. Hey, what does this Muslim think? He thinks that it is their quality. He thinks it is the Englishman's quality. He calls one of our qualities their qualities. Tell me now, what cure is there for this ignorance? How ignorant are they not? Very ignorant. In South Africa, we never used to lock the streets. Never, ever. Those who know about speaking 20 years ago, never. At night, day, night, everything is open. But now they lock the masjids. Why many foreigners, they come, they use the masjid as a hotel. And Allah forbid, they steal also. I tell you 2 incidents. I hope the second one was just on my mind. I will remember it. There's one muazzin, around 10 o'clock in the morning, he came to the masjid. And he saw somebody reading namaz. The muazzin looked properly. He said, man, no man, there's something wrong. So there's a bag there. And the muazzin went to this guy who was in namaz and he grabbed him. He said, you are a thief. Said, no, I'm not a thief. How can you? I'm Muslim. Well, another one, 2 people also, they came. They asked muazzin, but how can you say he's a thief? I mean, he's got topi, everything. He said, no, this man is a thief. Go open his bag. Open the bag. The guy don't want to open. Open the bag. Now they all get excited. When they opened the bag, there was some towels, a loudspeaker system, little of it. So they asked the Muslim, but how
did you know that he's a thief?
The man said, I was reading Salah. Ask him, I was making Salah. The Muslim said, yeah, he was making Salah. But he was facing the opposite direction of the Qibla. This guy, this Chorti, the Tzoti, he never knew he must face Qibla. He used to see people doing the mass, but he never understood that you must all must face Qibla. So he was standing maybe this way making the mass. So the Muslim knew this guy is not a Muslim. He caught him out. So what cure is there for ignorance? Ignorance is bad, but if a person is still proudful on it, then he's a goner. He's a goner. There is no way he can survive. He's ignorant. Even if he's an alim, he can be ignorant. Who doesn't know TV is haram? Everyone knows. He's ignorant and he's arrogant. He's a goner. He's going to cause lots of damage, lots of harm to himself and to others. In those days in India, the muazzins were very badly treated, even today. Very, very poorly treated. They looked down upon. One muazzin, yeah, this is the second story. He just wanted a place to stay and little food. So he came to one village. He said, isn't it something? They told him, what can you do? He said, I can give azan. He said, hey, we need a muazzin. So they gave him a half broken room. You must give azan. We'll send for you food every day little. And he gave chances to the villagers. So he used to give azan, clean little ear, whatever. Morning, evening, someone used to send food. One day, in the afternoon, one child brought lovely kheer in a bowl. The muazzin was very happy to read kheer. Oh, how is this year? What is the occasion? Someone got married? He asked the little girl. Someone got married? He said, no. Someone died? No. Then? He said, no, my mother made this kheer for us. And what happened is this year, the dog came and put its mouth and ate little kheer. So my mother said, Razal, just give the balance to the muazzin. Wala, 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 quota. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And the muazzin took the bowl and threw it. The bowl even broke. The child cried. Now why are you crying? He said, no, my mother is going to hit me. Why? You broke the bowl. See, then, so fine. I mean, this, why did he send it? He said, no, the bowl, it's not fine. This was the doggy's bowl. This was the dog's bowl. We used to give the dogs food in there. Now the dog don't have a bowl. It's not our bowl, it's the dog's bowl. So what I'm saying, the mentality, everything is here in the mind. Everything is here in the mind. If this is correct, you are right. If this is mumble jumble, very hard. Very, very, very difficult. Very difficult. Almost impossible. That's why Maulana Thani Rahmatullahi told our Hazrat Maulana Masihullah, Maulana Masihullah, you mustn't make the ulama quickly bait. Don't make them bait quickly. Layman is very easy. He doesn't know this masala and that thing, but what about that kitab and what about that and that ikhtilaf? It's very hard. In this part of the tasawwuf, you have to be like a child. In the murshid or the peer is like a father holding your hand. Wherever the small child, the father walks, he walks. He won't ask, now why are we going uphill? Now why are we turning right? Now why left? He just follows and he gets to his destination. You mustn't make the ulama quickly murid. Similarly, that's why they say, saying, Al-ilmu hijabun akbar. Ilm is a big barrier. It's a very big barrier in the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That many a times you say, but what about this masala? And you can't see past. There's actually a bayan. It's our Islah, this thing. There's some amazing stories. Amazing, amazing. You can't even think. We can't even think. One murid came to his peer sahab. Told his peer sahab, Hazrat, I want to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. Peter Sahib told him, "Bhai, please, Hazrat, for years, I'm reading Durood Sharif. I want to see Nabi's house." Peter Sahib said, "All right, tonight you mustn't read Isha Namaz." And Murid thought, "How is this possible? I mustn't read Isha Namaz. Isha is for us." He went to bed, he didn't read. He thought, "No, man, I must read my Isha Namaz. But my peer Sahib said, I'll see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So he thought to him, "You know what? I'll just read a faras. He didn't ask, he wanted to see Rasul Salman. He said he wants to see Allah Pak in the dream. He wants to see Allah Pak in the dream. And the Peter Sabtun Mara, don't read your Isha Namaz. So he said, "No, let me just read a faras." He went to fall asleep. In a dream, he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahasam asked him, "What did I do that you left my sunnats out? What did I do against you that you left my sunnats?" He woke up with a shock and he was happy. He ran to his peer sahab, woke him up, "Hazrat ji, bhai, what is it? I saw Rasulullah sallam. Nabi sallam told me, what did I do that I left out the sunnah? I only read my faras." Peter Sahib said, "Wala hawla wala quwwata," right? "When you came to me and you asked me you want to see Allah Pak in a dream, I looked at you and you were almost crying. It hit my heart. It's weird. It's called waridat. It very forceful. I couldn't bring it. You can't bring an opposite thought to that what is in, comes into the heart. I just looked at you. Allah put in my heart. Tell me, mustn't read for us namaz. Had you not read your first namaz in the time of Isha, because Isha comes right till Tajud time, you would have seen Allah Pak in a dream. Allah Pak would have woken you up. Why are you not reading your Isha namaz? What did I do against you? But you read your first namaz, so you didn't see Allah Pak, you saw Rasulullah sallam. In this part, it's just you have to put your head down. You can't have any say. You can't have any say. Then see what happens later on. Just by the way, we're just talking. Alhamdulillah said, "I saw my sheikh also, alhamdulillah, in a dream. Give advice. Allah shukar. Alhamdulillah." People say, I think Rashid Ludhiani Rahmatullahi, I think it was him. What did he say? He said, our Akabirin were fantastic people. They understood Tasawwuf. They understood. And it's so easy to slip. It's very easy.